Okay, I guess I'm not going to be doing any shouting this morning, though I may jump for joy. It'll look really funny. Good morning. I am honored to be here once again. I've been working on this sermon for a few days now. It has been one of the more challenging situations I've had to deal with for quite some time, because I had about a week to 10 days notice, and I procrastinate a little bit sometimes. It takes my brain a little bit of pressure to kick in gear. Now, before I get to the sermon, I want to tell you that I'm not a great orator. I used to think I was, but I learned better. And I'm no longer afraid to admit I don't know everything. I used to be full of myself and all the knowledge I thought I knew. I actually believed that knowledge was power. Of course, what I was learning was trivia and didn't mean anything. Postage stamp, 2 calories. I eventually learned that the only knowledge worth striving for was a knowledge of grace. Sorry. And the depth of the love Christ had for us and the talents he blessed us with to serve the kingdom. I am truly blessed to be comfortable standing and speaking to a crowd or crowds of people. I honestly believe that the Lord has called me to preach. I know that no matter what, he will guide me, since I have finally submitted 100% and decided to sell out. As you heard me mention in my praise, I was afraid. I had committed about 90%. I was afraid to truly step into this role, and what it's going to bring in the future, I don't know. But once I did submit to him with my whole heart, surprisingly, that it seems to be the only the beginning of what he wants me to do. And I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop. I will still eagerly await his inspiration to guide me. I'm going to talk about this in the sermon, but I've given it the title of Seasons, or Season. I think Season is a better title. I want you to think, if our Christian walk was to be labeled and divided into seasons, what seasons are you and I in these days? Let's take a look at the death of Charlie Kirk and what he did while he was alive. Now, I'm not going to talk about politics or conspiracies or any other topics that the mainstream media and all the influencers on the social media are talking about, and hands are up in the air. And if we did, we'd never get out of here in time for lunch. But I will speak on what season we are in. It is easy or hard, and what we are to do, regardless of the difficulty of what we may be facing. Charlie Kirk was a public figure who went among the young people at colleges across this nation and represented Jesus and the fact that all of us need him. He did it with respectful dialogue, allowing even the most rude and socially unacceptable people the chance to have a voice, even if it was a person who was unwilling to hear the truthfulness of the gospel, and instead spoke lies or obviously from some seriously depraved people, until one day someone ended his life. A physical act that was rooted in a spiritual war that has been underway since the fall of man in the Garden of Eden. The world we live in, although broken, is still unable to keep the faithful from having numerous blessings during even the hardest of seasons. Let's talk about some of those blessings. Hope is one blessing in Romans 5, 3 through 5. And not only this, but we do exult in our tribulations, knowing the tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Strength is another. Our strength comes from the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that allows us to love as Christ has loved us. It may take time, but I have found that in my life, it is getting easier each day. Joy. We can have joy because of the goodness of God and Christ's relationship with Him, and He is with us. It is not dependent on our circumstances, but on our faith in Christ. That gives us joy. We do know that God has plans for us, as Paul states in Romans 8, verse 28. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. So looking at the season we are in, no matter how hard or crazy it is, that we have a place in it and a purpose. We have to get away from our complacency. We cannot allow the world to overwhelm us and keep us from growing our faith and speaking it through the gospel message. Even during the captivity of the Israelite people held captive in Babylon, in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 29, 11 and 12 reads, "For I know the plans that I have for you, says God." That was my word. "Declares the Lord, plans for prosperity and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." And in verse 13, God says, "And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with your whole heart." Are we seeking the Lord with all of our heart, or are we letting the world overcome us? Some days, yes, it intrudes and flattens us like nothing else. Whether it's a baby in the NICU, whether it's the death of a parent, a friend. Are we becoming so tired that we feel that it is just not worth it to continue to resist the evil that seems to be growing in our nation and the world? In order to avoid this, we must put off the old self and put on the new. Because we are a new creation. And sometimes I think I forget to put on. So when we get up in the morning, what is it we're putting on? Are we thinking about our job? Oh, I got to remember my phone, my keys. There's my book. There's my lunch. I got everything I need. As we head out the door, what is on our list? Do we start the day with God, a prayer, private time, reading our Bible, reading a verse? There is a simple answer that is mentioned. That is in the book of Ephesians 6, 13 through 17. And you know this as well as I do. "Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist on the evil day, and having done everything to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having belted your waist with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having strapped on your feet the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." Here's a brief overview of how the armor protects us throughout our days. Belt your waist with truth. The word of God is where we live in truthfulness. There is no lie in it, ever. It does not contradict itself, and it tells us how to live. Fighting against evil without hypocrisy, ridding ourselves of whatever will hinder us from growing our faith, is part of that truthfulness as well. The breastplate is to protect our heart so that we may fill it with the Holy Spirit and the love of Christ. Put on the boots and shoes with the preparation of the gospel of peace. This is because through Christ we have peace with God. We are no longer in rebellion against God and are adopted as children of God. The shield of faith. It is not our initial faith that we are given that is the shield, but the continued trust in God's word and promises that will allow us to resist the lies of Satan and his minions by the choice we continually obey and wait upon God's blessings. The helmet of salvation, which protects us from Satan's lies that cause doubt and discouragement. This can come through complacency during hard times when we become depressed and we start to isolate ourselves. knowing that we live in a broken and therefore an evil world, where the devil and his minions act as though they are winning a war that has already been won, trying to wear us down and to steal our hard-won hopes so that we just give up. If you let the living of life become your focus, you will eventually lose sight of what is truly important. It is a challenge some days when troubles come and time seems to disappear. Suddenly we are behind in so many ways. And let me give you a small example that happened to my family recently. It started when I returned from our men's retreat to Gatlinburg, where I chose to let go of fear. And by the way, just a side note here, Adam, who's gonna come here on that Wednesday night, was our guest speaker at the retreat. For 3 days, I was lucky he was in my group when we broke out after we had our classes. And I'm gonna tell you what, you will love this man. He is this the most amazing speaker and Christian. I thought I had a hard life. That man told me some stories I'm glad I never experienced. He is a good, God-loving man, and I think you're gonna enjoy him being here with you. But I chose to let go of fear, as I said, and fully sell out to Jesus and to bring peace back with me, to stop tussling with my wife on every little thing. It had to be just so. No more snark and a lot more kindness, love, peace with a capital P. Then we decided to help our daughter by moving her into our house and make her an apartment in our basement. We soon had an issue with our AC, capacitor went out. Then we had a water leak. The water here was water all over the floor, but not flooding. We had to replace that. So we got to call the same plumber twice. Then I agreed to preach here this morning. And the next item on the list was my wife had a scheduled surgery to remove screws from her long ago repair of a broken ankle. They were able to get the one out that was coming back out and pushing against her skin and causing extreme pain, but they were unable to remove any of the other screws for fear that she wouldn't be able to walk again. So we're blessed that her ankle's gonna hold. But it's just one more brick on the load. Then I went on a 3-day fast to see what the Lord wanted me to do concerning my future in the Alliance and wanting to be ordained to officially be able to preach within the Alliance and working out how to afford the LEAD program that would teach me how to do this. It is the first time I was able to make the full 3 days. Unfortunately, I was a little hangry on the third day. I've been praying and doing my best to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. The hardest part has been helping my wife maneuver throughout our house, upstairs and down. I had to make sure that no matter what, she would not feel like she was overworking me. And when she called me, I didn't say, "What?" I said, "Okay, I'll be right there." It has only been 2 days, and we have about 2.5 weeks to go before she will be in physical therapy and on the way to freedom and good health. Normally, I would have lost my patience within a few hours. I'm not tooting my own horn, far from it. I have only been praying and reading my Bible for this sermon during the last 10 days. We forget prayer in the morning sometimes. We get going and get distracted. I'm working on the discipline and faithfulness to rise early and start my day with private time with my Lord and Savior. And yet I know there is so much more I can do, putting on each and every day the armor of God and resting in His arms, letting go of my pride and asking Him for help, even with the small stuff. I recall a verse that I want to follow every day. Because I have not always been able to. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. I have always been afraid to try doing this. I knew that I would fail. Now, with the knowledge I have learned, it was not about failing, but that I strive to glorify God, my God, with all that I do in repentance when I miss the mark. Regardless of the season or the circumstances within that season, you and I must take captive every thought in order to be obedient to Christ. This is where we can find peace, joy, and power to witness in the midst of our struggles. How can we not be joyful when we obey and we are blessed by the ultimate victory at the cross of Calvary and the risen Christ on the third day? Yet the world is changing. Our God does not change. He is always there for us, the faithful, even when we feel like we're not rising to every occasion. Do not despair. Let go of it and find the joy of knowing that we are blessed with the promise of eternity, and the seasons that represent our lives is truly short compared to the promise of being in the presence of the Trinity forever, and this life is but a moment compared to that. I thank you for hearing my message today, and I do have one caveat. This is 5 pages. I had 8, and I had enough verses that I could probably walk all the way up to the church and still be saying them when I went out the door. My wife said, you can't do that to them. It's just a bit too much, Ron. I'm going, but it doesn't make sense. You lost me. And I says, okay. So at 10:30 last night, I took it, I set it up, and I had some advice from Pastor Tim. And between that and rereading and retyping, I redid this sermon, gratefully praying the whole time that God was guiding me. And I think he did, because that's the end of my sermon, and I want to thank you, and especially for the song that we sang, the second one, which I can barely sing some days. Thank you.